That sweet lady back there helps out in VBS. She goes, I don't know why y'all keep asking me back, because you do a great job and we need people to help. You always do a wonderful job for us. Today, I do want to say this too, that we will be observing the Lord's Supper at the end of the service today. And I do want you to know, and you might not know this, but there is a little wafer on top of the cup, okay? There's two different sets of plastics right there. If you just feel with the first one, you can pull it. I just wanted to let everybody know, when we had done this last time, me and Brother Jerry had realized that not everybody had gotten to their wafer. And if you need help with it, please ask your neighbor, somebody beside you. I'm sure they'll be glad to help you, okay? And hopefully we'll get to go back to traditional soon enough here. I know, but y'all just bear with us on that. So I did want to let everybody know that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn to John. Chapter 10, we're going to go to the Gospel of John this morning, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 18, chapter 10, 1 through 18. And I want to ask you today, I want to encourage you something that, or encourage you to think about something, but over the next several, John chapter 10, 1 through 18, I want to ask you the question, what is a great church? What is a great church? And over the next few Sundays here, I think I found something that I really would like to do, that I'm going to preach on, that I'm going to be preaching on, that I'm going to try to make it our own and make it fit to Otagaville and our people that we have. But my main question this morning is, what is a great church? And when we think about what is a great church, we think about a place where the Holy Spirit is dwelling. We think about God's enduring presence in our church, within these walls, okay? But we know that this is just a building. And it is. This is a building. This is where we join together, but we, the people, are the church. Okay? We go out beyond these walls, okay? And proclaim the word of Christ, proclaim to others, just like Trey was saying, to share the gospel, to proceed to be Christ for someone else throughout the week, because we never know who might have been broke down and had to go to Virginia at the last minute. We see that in everyday lives, we truly do. We see the different things that happens. So when I ask you about it, I want to ask you, how do we hear God's voice a lot of times? How do we hear God's voice? Well, I jotted down a few things on that, about through reading His Word, through godly people, through prayer, through hymns, through silence, through nature, we hear God's voice. Being alone, quietness, letting it surround us and take us over. Y'all all know what I'm talking about. How can you expect to hear God's voice if you've got a cell phone in your face all the time? You can't, because it's too much noise. You have to drown. You have to get silent with it. Look at what he says right here. Let's open up this morning. Let's look at John 10, 1 through 6 right there. He says, Jesus talking, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls on his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep, they follow him because they know his voice." They can hear his voice. "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Let's open up in prayer this morning. Father, as we come to this part of the service, Lord, we just want to be found humbled before you. That God, as we look at your word, Lord, and as we get ready for our Lord's Supper, Father, we remember back to what you sent your son Jesus to happen. Father, we think of our own walks, dear God, and we feel like how we know in a lot of ways we need to draw closer to you, Father God, but there's so much noise around us a lot of times, God, it's hard. And Lord, we need to learn to set aside that noise and just be found by you, to hear you, God, through our prayers, Father God, through everything that you give us, dear Lord. You've given us everything we need, Father, and all we need to do is obey. Now, God, be with us over these next few minutes as we study your word, as we look at it, dear God. Lord, help us to understand. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives, God, that may people may see you in us. Lord, help us to always be on point for you, to always be ready to go, no matter where you call us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your name. Amen. A great question. Do you know God's voice today? Do you know God's voice? Out of all the senses that God has given us, don't you think being able to hear is number one? Agree with that? That's serious. Now keep in mind, touch, feel. If we see something we don't want to see, we can cover our eyes, correct? And I can't see it. But I can't always cover my ears and not hear something because the sound could be that loud. God gives us those distinct things. Look at what he tells his sheep right there. In verse 3 again, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen. They hear to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. God's active and willing presence. What is a great church? A great church is where the Holy Spirit is alive. A great church is where when God's people come together, no matter what's been going on out there in the real world, this is you and God's time today. This is your time. That nothing else can bother you, that whatever's happened, you can let it go. This is your time to regrow, to transform, to accept Christ for the first time, whatever it may be that God's leading to you, that whatever cares and worries you've had, I ask for the next few minutes that you let them go, that you push them up to Jesus. Let him have them, because he'll take every single one of them. I got an email this week from Benny, and I don't have my phone with me or anything. It's down there. But I'm gonna recite to you what I had read. There was an actor in New York who recited plays and playwrights. And he was one of those paid actors. You know, one of them pretty boys, Kyle. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, like you. Yeah, of course. One of those guys that was always done up. Hair's always perfect. And he would go out in front of the crowd every night. And he would woo them and blah, 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 you know, Shakespeare, Hamlet. You know what I'm getting at. People pay big money to do this, right? At least that's what I'm told. I ain't never done it. It ain't like it happens a lot here in Alabama. You know what I mean? But you get what I'm saying. So they would go out and he would recite it and he would do it. But at the end of every one of his services, he would recite Psalms 23, 1 through 4. He would recite it. And let me refresh memory. And I covered this Wednesday night. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you're a saved Christian today, that scripture speaks to you. It does, hands down. So the man at the end of every one of them, he would recite that. And he'd add it down, and then they would have a thunderous applause. Oh, just standing ovations. Beautiful, beautiful. So he was doing one of his shows one night, and out of a weird suggestion, a young boy stood up in the stands. And right before he was about to do it, he stopped him and said, "Sir, could I recite Psalms 23? And the man thought, "Well, I've had years of training. Sure, come right on up. You can't do it the justice that I do. Come right on down." Young man stepped out and came down and stood center stage in front of everybody and recited Psalms 23:1-4. So the man, when at the end of it, the boy had said, and he was very soft-spoken, there wasn't a thunderous applause, there wasn't no standing ovation, but all you heard was weeping throughout the church, throughout the audience. Everybody was just crying. And as he stood down, he went to the back, and the actor walked up behind him and said, "I have been doing that scripture for years, and I have never received the response you got tonight. You have to tell me, young man, what is your secret to that?" He said, "Sir, you might know the psalm, but I know the shepherd. You might know the psalm, but I know the shepherd." We can memorize scripture. We can. Anybody can. Trust me, being in seminaries, I get a chance to listen to theologians every week. And theologians are good, and they're good at knowing the scripture and seeing, but what does that have to do with the mom or the dad who's hurting because their child is messed up? What has that got to do with the mom or the dad who's going through a struggle who needs the Lord Jesus? A lot of times when we see stuff like that, we just need to be reminded God's word is here to comfort us. I'm serious. It's here to comfort us. It's here for you to read it, to be able to soak it in and apply it to your life. Look at what he says in 7-10 right there. Look at what he says. Let's say, go. Come with me. 7-10. "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out, and they will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it to the fullness.'" Does that speak to you this morning? Are you ready to have life to the fullness? A power. What kind of church do you want to be? You want to be a power. A power that shakes and stirs us up is what it wants to be. You want to be a church that is alive. God's word is powerful and active. God's word tells us that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. That it is that important, that it is that critical to us. That you penetrate. Let the word of God penetrate you. Let it listen. Let it wash over you. You could do one verse a day. Just one verse a day. And ask God to let it speak to me, Lord. Show me what you want it to mean to me. It always doesn't have to be what you can pull out, but God, what do you want me to see out of it? What does the Lord's Supper, you go, have to do with all this? Because when we take the Lord's Supper, the first thing we do is we examine our own walks with Jesus. We do. And we take a look at them. And we see where we lack or where we might be falling short. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this whole church is full of sinners. That's it. Ain't nobody perfect. So don't ever think that, oh, well, so-and-so's got it figured out. You think I got it figured out because I'm wearing the jacket? No, I'm dying up here. It's hot. Brother Alvin knows. He wears a jacket too. There's two kinds of people in this world. And I want you to agree with me on this. Miss Kay, I'm going to talk to you. You're always my sweet face that smiles. There's two types of people. Just say amen if you agree. Two types of people in this world. Two types. All right. First type, good morning, Lord. Right? That's your first type. Second type, good Lord, it's morning. She agreed. She said amen. Do you agree with me? It's two types of people. Good morning, Lord. Good Lord, it's morning. Same words, but y'all felt the difference. There's two different types of analogies there of how you can see things and how you can view things. I encourage you to do choice A. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for letting me. Tony Evans once told us at a Promise Keepers, Brother Alvin, remember this, so were the rest of the deacons, that we were at a Promise Keepers, and he was on life. He said, you want to be the type of godly man that gets up every morning, and when your feet hit the ground, the devil says, oh, crap, he's up. Now, that's the truth. That's the kind of man that you want to strive to be. Those are the types of one. Let the word of God wash over you. Let the word of God penetrate you. Look at what Jesus goes on to say right there. Hit me up, 11 through 13 right there. Let's hit that set of scriptures right there. 11 through 13. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. When you talk about what is a great church, it is a church that listens to the Spirit, a church that hears Jesus, a church that spends time with Jesus. This is our strength house, guys. This is our church. When we depart from here, when we have to go to Virginia unexpectedly, you better be packing your Bible along in your suitcase because you're going to need it, is all I'm saying. You're going to need it. Look at what he says right there in 14 through 18. Let's get down to it. And I know we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says it again. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus' words. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. There's nothing I can't top that. That Jesus is the good shepherd. That he wants to hear from you today. That he wants you to bring your problems, your ailments, whatever it is, he wants you to lay them before his feet. Let him have them. You know, God is always present in the church. But there are times when he walks this church with us. There's times that he's with us. He's with us every time we meet. He's walking through here. Think about this, and I'm going to back it up with God's word. Believe he walks when we sing to him, Leslie? When we're singing praises to his name, his Spirit's among us. I believe when I'm up here preaching, I believe he's with me in the pulpit, that he's right here with me. If the Holy Spirit is with us right here, what makes you think that he's not with us when we're out and about, when we're in our cars, when we're on the way to Virginia, when we're doing just our normal, what you call it, your everyday mundane things that you do, the Holy Spirit is with us. What kind of church? What is a great church? He walks with me. He talks with me. His word even backs it up. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Will you let God speak to you today? Will you open your eyes and heart? Will you let him lead you through the gate? Will you let him lead you through the gate? Will you do that for me today? Think about the words and everything that we have talked about, especially as we get ready for the Lord's Supper, that God's word backs it up right there. Look at it, I'm going to finish my verses right there. Pick it up at 17 right there. He says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now, when you back up to the beginning of 10:1 right there, you see he's talking to the various Pharisees. He says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, they were already out to get him. They were already out to condemn him, to put him down. But today, as we get ready for the Lord's Supper, we examine our walk with Jesus, is what we do. What's Jesus been leading you to do today? Do you want to be a great church? Amen, we do. We want to be the type of church that when we leave these walls right here and we go out and we've been strengthened for the week, we go out and we tell other people about him. We see new people come in. We grow is what we do. We see how God blesses it is what we do. And God can use each and every single one of us. Don't give me that stuff about something that happened 10 years ago. I don't want to hear that. Just think about today. Think about what lies in front of you. We want to be a great church. We want to be a loving church. We want to be a sweet-spirited church is what we want. We want to be a praying church. And lastly, we want to be a Christ-centered church. It all goes back to Jesus. Miss Kay, I'm going to close us in a word of prayer this morning. And then Miss Kay is going to get on her piano. And we're going to take a moment and we're going to examine our own walks with Christ this morning. Let's pray right now. Father God, as we come to this point of the service, dear Lord, I ask God that you be with each and every person that is in here this morning. I pray, God, Lord, that we just focus ourselves on us and you, dear Lord. Father, that our personal walk. God, I ask, Lord, that you be with us. I ask God that you lead and you guide and you direct us, Lord, as millions of people, Father God, are doing the same thing this morning, Father. Our hearts are all going up in one accord, Lord. And you tell us in your word, Father God, that if we humble ourselves, Father God, and we hear your name, Father God, you will heal our land. God, we all pray that, Lord, that you will heal. God, I ask, Lord, that we be in that one accord, Father, with our minds directly on you. Lord, we call on you, Father God. We see you, dear God, all around us. And we pray, God, that you will continue, Father God. Lead us to how you want your church to be and to what we are supposed to do for you, sweet Jesus. Father, you be with us in these upcoming, as we observe, Father, the Lord's Supper God, be with us, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Forgive us of our many sins, Father. It is your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Now, as we get ready, before Brother Jerry and the deacons come down, I want you to take a couple of minutes and I want you to examine your own personal walk with Christ. And what I've covered today in telling you about what kind of church do you want to be, the people are the church. Do you agree with me on that? It's up to us. When we're all taking the time and we're all spending time in God's Word and doing what we're supposed to do when we're calling on Him, we become that great church. Let's all close our eyes. Pray for your, don't pray for your neighbor right now. Just pray for your relationship with you and Christ. Brother Jerry, if you and the deacons will come forward. As we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper this morning, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer, and then the deacons will pass out the communion. Father, as we come to this time, dear Lord, I pray, God, Lord, we see the example that you left, that you did for us when you sent your Son Jesus to the cross. I pray, Father, as we participate in this, Father, your Last Supper, that, Lord, we remember exactly what was done. Father, you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And I ask, Father God, that you will be with us, dear God, as we grow together, Father, to be the church that you need us to be for you. I ask, God, that you will be thankful, Father, for all everything that you have done for us. And, Father, the example that you give us. Lord, thank you, God, for your word and being the ultimate shepherd for us. Thank you, God, for your guidance. It's these things I ask in your name. Amen. Matthew 26:26 says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.'" Let us pray. Father God, as Lord, we see exactly the sacrifice that you made for us, Father God. And Lord, it was you up on that cross. I ask God that as we take this time, Father God, that we do this in full remembrance of everything that you had gone through, Lord, for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, I ask God that you will be with us, dear God, as your church, Father God, and along with the millions of others that are taking this on World Communion Day, God. All our hearts, Father God, are in one accord, dear Lord, pointing to you. Father God, be with us, dear Lord. Be with us. Save our country, Father. Save our world. These things I ask in your name. Amen. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Father God, we see in this next part exactly what you have done for us, God. Your blood was spilled for us, Father God. It is that atoning sacrifice, dear Lord. Father, I ask God that you will be with us, Father, that you will lead and guide, Father, that we take today as a new beginning, Father God, as we will be made new with you, Lord, when we get to heaven. I ask God that you will be with us, Father God. Forgive us of our sins, dear Lord. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Matthew 26:29 says, "I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Lord Jesus, as we close our service today, Father, we do all this for you, dear God, in remembrance of you. Lord, we know you are our shepherd. And Lord, lead each and every one of us through that gate, Father God. We will follow you up the mountain, dear God. And even when we walk through the dark valleys, Father, we know that you are with us. Thank you for being with us this morning, Father God, in your spirit. Lord, as we just want to glorify you in all that we say and do, it is these things we ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Sister Leslie, where's she at? She's going to come forward and lead us in a song. If you'd please stand, this will be our dismissal for today. I ask that you join hands. If you feel comfortable enough doing it, you're more than welcome. Sister Leslie,
you ready?
Yes.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
Missed. That seemed that. She got to, God knows, she got to cut me off.